This is a HeadGum Original.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Can you help me, please? I need to seize the cheese. To win the golden mic is what I want. Jake is on a streak. A golden mic each week. He's chuffed and cheesed, but every time he flaunts. Sometimes Jake gives himself the mic. And even though I try and try, I'm just a chipmunk man with a turdy in my hand. Am I a golden boy or am I shit? I hit all of my nuts inside my chipmunk butt because I've had enough turdies in my life. Jake is called the Pinch. He is a diva bitch. He wins each week while Tucker's fucking his wife. I know that if I ask for it, Jake will award me a trophy, shit. I guess I'll go to hell. You can call me a Mishmuel. Am I a golden boy or am I shit?
Sick song. Yeah. It did bring up a good point that I feel like I always give myself the golden mic.
Yes.
And you never have awarded it to me. It's a little selfish that you've never given it to me, but I always have to give it to me.
It's a little selfish of me that you always give yourself a trophy and I get a piece of shit, a clump of doo-doo on a pedestal.
It'd be nice to be recognized for my work, for my effort, for my, you know, for my achievements in podcasting by you instead of just by me every single week.
Yeah.
It's a little one-sided.
It doesn't feel great,
is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We agree. It is a little one-sided, mm-hmm. And it doesn't feel great.
But it doesn't feel great.
Yeah, but are you okay?
No, doesn't feel great. Honestly, it doesn't feel great.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, that was to the tune of, what is it, Basket Case?
Yeah, Green Day, Basket Case, great song.
Inspired by Amir's quest to win the golden mic. That was actually only half of it.
Really? So yeah, we'll play the other half at the end.
If you guys can plug my podcast, The Howling Salt Mine. It's a Magic the Gathering podcast where we read stories from our listeners and from Reddit about players getting salty, and we offer advice on how to handle their salty situations.
Cool.
We have special guests, a salty card of the week, and a killer theme song. Find us on Spotify.
Okay.
Thank you for playing my magnum opus, and shout out to my friend Maddie, who's listening right now and probably just as stoked as I am to hear this song.
Shout out to Maddie.
Damn. Have you ever played Magic the Gathering?
Yes, kind of. We went to, when Natapod had our first show in Seattle, we went to the Wizards of the Coast like office, and they like own Dungeons & Dragons and Magic the Gathering, which before I played D&D, I thought they were the same thing. Mm-hmm. And we like played a bunch of games of Magic, but I didn't really understand it. And I ended up just kind of like holding the cards and playing an open hand with the other guys and Murph telling me which cards to play.
Yeah.
It seems like I could get into it, but also I don't think the cards don't appeal to me.
Interesting.
I like the freedom of, theater of the mind in D&D.
Did you ever play poker and stuff like in high school and college? Did you ever get into that?
Never got into it. I've played before. It doesn't do anything for me.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Did you ever play Monopoly growing up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is...
There's cards involved in that. The right. little properties that you can buy.
Yeah. And are you trying to like do some kind of gotcha journalism?
I'm
like,
just trying to figure out.
I didn't say I liked Monopoly. I just said I played it. You're saying...
You said you loved it growing up. No, I'm just wondering why
you said,
that is.
Did you ever play growing up? And I said, yeah.
I bet you were the banker, weren't you?
Not always, no.
Sometimes, I bet.
Yeah, you said...
So here's what where I am with you, just psychoanalyzing this shit.
Right. Don't think you're anywhere, but go ahead.
For whatever reason, you don't like magic. You don't quite get the rules of poker or something. Like, nobody ever explained it to you.
You're
you
not good at like... this. You keep on guessing wrong. I correct you. Then you kind of backtrack and make it seem like that was your guess the first time, right?
You are you're a Scorpio or an Aries or
no,
something.
No, Leo.
A Leo?
Yeah.
Which is
don't
like...
nod and say a Leo. Yeah. Like yeah. you said it.
I was going to say
because you guessed twice wrong.
Yeah.
Scorpio and Aries. Fire signs?
I'm a Cancer.
Yes, you are. All right, wait, what is your sign? A Sagittarius.
No.
Capricorn.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah. I knew I would get along with a Capricorn.
One day.
One day.
You just didn't know it would be like this. Mm-hmm. We're back together in LA, though, versus New York.
It feels good. I like recording together in the studio.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
None of this Zoom shit anymore.
I'm done with Zoom. Mm-hmm. 2023 is the year I go Zoomless.
I actually have Zoom fatigue.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah. So I've been using Google Hangouts, Skype.
FaceTime, old
Microsoft
school.
Office Exchange.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I have very specific
Cisco
Zoom.
WebEx blue jeans.
yeah. I feel bad for those other. Skype was there the whole time. I don't know why we just gave up on it right when the pandemic started.
Yeah. I don't know. They didn't make it easy enough. That was the thing. I feel like half of using Skype was always like, are you on Skype? I'm trying to call you.
Yeah. And the biggest thing about Skype was the ringtone. They had like a proprietary
boop, boop,
ringtone.
Boop. Yeah. Boom, yeah, boom, boom, it's the sound boom, of being in a long-distance boom, relationship boom. For me.
Yeah, it was you and Jill, right?
I was in a couple different long-distance relationships. That was why I always said they didn't work, but me and Jill's worked.
Yeah, and you and... When you were playing Monopoly, was it ever like that? Did it ever feel like a long-distance relationship? Like, why do you think you craved that sort of
what are you
space?
Why are you trying to tie it back to Monopoly? Because I did say it was not a big part of my life. Don't try to like weave the story together. You don't know shit.
I just find you as someone that's like constantly like,
don't study me. Don't study me.
Yeah.
Stop trying to psychoanalyze me.
I guess I'm trying to make it either one, get to a point where I'm kind of a fortune teller of sorts.
Yeah.
Like right. a tarot reader or something.
We should get you tarot cards.
Yeah.
I'd love for you to do my tarot reading. I think Allie has a book.
Really?
Yeah. Because a lot of tarot reading is just like you learn how to do the cards, right? And then you just flip to a page in a book and you say what the cards say. And like being a good tarot reader is just knowing what's in the book and kind of doing your own putting your own spin on it.
Yes, exactly.
But a dummy could do it.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
If I'm a dummy and I could do it, I can be like, mm-hmm. I can't do anything good, but I can always be like a funny this.
Right.
So it's like, you can be a funny tarot card reader. I'm not a good tarot card reader, but I'm a funny tarot card reader.
Yeah.
I'm not a good teacher, but I'm a funny teacher.
That's a good pivot for you. I feel like I see a lot of rich tarot card readers.
Like they're
just
loaded.
Like filthy rich tarot card readers.
Really?
You know? Yeah.
Like
guys
to the
with
stars.
Yachts.
Yeah. And they're doing tarot.
They're doing tarot.
Whoa, where'd you get? There's a famous TikTok guy where it's like, when you drive up to him in a Porsche, like,
what
where'd
you
get your car? What do you do for a living?
Right.
It's like, this is a Lamborghini fucking Countach 1988. Right. What do you do for a living?
It's a $500,000 car. What do you do for a living?
Tarot.
I read tarot cards. Driving into a pole.
How dope is that?
Ah! Hopping a curb.
I eat tarot chips. For a living?
My dad was hit by a train.
I actually don't know how to drive stick.
Release the clutch. Fuck me. These Italian cars.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We got some real questions to get through. People are complaining we don't get to enough questions. I say they're right. Fuck us. Here we go.
Okay, let's do it.
My best friend has no filter and tells me way too much is the subject of this question.
Great.
It's a 30-year-old French-Canadian girl from Montreal, so we'll call her Daisy.
Daisy.
Daisy Duck.
Nice, Daisy Duck.
I'll get to the point. I'm a 30-year-old French-Canadian girl from Montreal. My best friend of more than 50...
My mom was a French-Canadian queen, right? That's a Jake and Amir.
Yeah. And my dad was an army rat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dishonorably discharged.
For going AWOL on a bunch of different troops in Vietnam. Or maybe just one.
He was a Benedict Cumberbatch / Arnold. This lady says, my best friend of more than 15 years has no filter, but to the point that it's problematic. I know everything about her and her boyfriend's sex life, or lack thereof.
Uh-oh.
Relationship problems, how he lost $8,000 on bitcoins without telling her, and how she would like to have an open relationship because she finds the sex boring, but he doesn't want to, and so much more.
Mm-hmm.
I feel bad that I know all this stuff. How can I tell her to be more careful with what she shares and that some things should be kept private to preserve intimacy? I don't want her to feel bad or to feel like she can't talk to me anymore. P.S. I found out about your podcast when I came to your Montreal show. Since then, I've been listening to one episode a day from the newest to the oldest.
Wow.
I feel like I'm going back in time.
That's interesting.
That's right. Do you have any friends that overshare, tell you too much about their sex life, or are they sort of private in that regard?
I don't know. Part of me almost thinks that's like what friends are. Like,
you tell them about private things.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of the point. I can't really. I understand everybody is different. Like, maybe this person's like, I wouldn't say all this stuff about my partner because I wouldn't want my friends to think about them in this light.
Yeah.
But maybe your friend is like, I don't care what you think about my partner because you're my friend and I need this kind of intimacy with you.
Right.
You know?
Can you not tell me about everything? Like, can you say that to a friend? That's interesting, but don't tell me how much money he lost on bitcoins.
Yeah. It'll make me feel weird around him. It's like, well, you don't really have to hang out with him, and yeah. I don't care how you feel about him.
Yeah.
You're my friend. That's how I think about it.
Which is what?
If I have friends that tell me things about their partners that make me feel a certain way about their partners, but that's what being a good friend is,
yeah.
You know? I don't need to be like...
Have you ever said to somebody that's TMI?
No, I love, I mean, I also, I'm a very open person and I like getting deep.
You're kind of a gossipy little rat queen.
No,
right?
No, I'm not
you
a gossip.
Like hearing
I'm a lockbox, actually.
Like,
I never,
ooh,
actually,
tell
I,
me about your like.
I learn a lot of secrets. I learn a lot of secrets and I don't talk about them at all with anybody. I'll tell you a couple right now that you've never heard before. That's
yeah, sure.
How you fucking know.
Well, we're on a podcast. Well,
okay. I'll tell you as soon as this is over.
Right. What's an example of just to whet my appetite?
Okay. Dave Rosenberg shits his pants every single day.
Okay. So that was
on purpose to wake up.
That was the full secret.
Right.
That was the entire one.
Yeah.
I meant like, give me like a little taste.
Like
something to whet our appetite.
Okay.
Jeff, like a teaser.
Jeff Rosenberg, my other best friend, eats his own hair.
Don't say eats his own hair. Just say like he does something kind of crazy.
Oh, Jeff. Okay. Jeff does something that he thinks is normal, but other people might think is like a little gross to eat your own hair.
Yeah. But you're saying it. Because now I'm kind of worried about all the stuff I told you because it seems like you're very, very open and forthright with the secrets.
Your secret family?
Yeah. Well, don't. Yeah, that's what. But that's another thing where I'm like,
yeah. You have a wife and two kids in Kansas City.
Go Chiefs!
Yes,
I'm the third Kelsey brother. Actually,
that's good.
Yeah,
you kind of look like you could be the third Kelsey brother.
Yeah,
the
so
one that's the
Travis,
their sports agent.
Yeah. I wonder if there is a third one. There's always a third one that's like not that good at whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the third
the other Manning
brother.
The Cooper Manning.
Yeah, the oldest one.
Right.
What is it? Travis and who's the Eagles Kelsey? Eric? Something Kelsey.
Yeah. Travis and Troy. It should be.
Kelsey Brothers. Let's see if there's a third Kelsey.
I think
brother.
They have a podcast, the Kelsey Brothers.
They do.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Jason Kelsey.
Mm.
God, can you imagine that podcast episode? We're both in the Super Bowl. That would never happen to us because you're not that good at football.
Right. Neither are you, but sure.
I could find my way onto a 53-man roster, but it would never be both of us.
Yeah. You think you could find your way onto a 53-man roster that's going to make it to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, if I'm
You're
like
40.
A backup. Yeah, but if I'm a backup, like strong safety or something.
Right. I'd be, yeah.
Or a lockdown corner.
I guess you at least know the positions, and I don't.
Right.
So you're closer than me.
Yeah. Or I could be a long snapper.
I think I'm a better athlete than you, though.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess how do you define athleticism?
strength, endurance, power. Yeah. How would you define it?
Someone who can like figure out like how shit works. Like if somebody explained to me the rules of a game, I wouldn't like be like, oh, wait, what'd you say?
Right. That's athletic.
I would just be like, okay, I got it. I'm on the same page.
Wow, you just broke your finger snapping.
I cracked my knuckle in 12 places. All right. I should actually say that this is If I Were You, the only advice podcast.
Did you not say that?
Yeah.
Wow. Sort of that's a charity, that bud. That's a charity, bud.
Why?
You didn't introduce the show.
I'm introducing it now. I remember.
Late. almost as the first act ends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't remember that. I didn't say it at all.
It's kind of your job. It's kind of your job.
And so if I have the turdy, does that mean you have the golden maker? Is that...
Well, let's see. It's still up for grabs. I would like you to give it to me because I feel like it's very lopsided, very one-sided, very everything on me all the time. So.
Everything anywhere all at once the time.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't feel comfortable giving you a trophy or a reward for your behavior because it feels like it's kind of nasty. All right.
Let's see if I can earn it in the next act.
Okay. Let's take a break, thank some sponsors, come back, and answer more questions after these messages.
Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp,
right.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapist at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to BetterHelp, help.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's BetterHelp, help.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, wow.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. And we're back. Jake, do you have any?
Oh, it's a little sooner than five.
I don't think I do. Do you?
I haven't done this yet,
mm-hmm.
but it feels like something we would have endorsed because I keep seeing people doing it.
Interesting.
Which is the morning cold plunge.
Wow. Yeah.
Pyle was telling me that he does it.
Yep.
Goes out into his jacuzzi, takes a freezing cold ice bath, 30 to 60 seconds.
Yeah.
And since then, I've been hearing more and more about people doing it to start their day.
I actually have not read anything about the benefits, but I feel them when I do the cold plunge. So I don't know like what the science is that's backing it, but it seems legit.
Yeah.
I feel really great whenever I do a cold plunge. I took a cold shower. I've been like usually at the end of my showers just taking a freezing cold shower for the last 30 seconds.
Just something to burn / wake you up.
Yeah. It's not enough. I would much rather have the cold plunge. I did one. What day was it? Thursday? Friday? I went surfing with Micah, and when it was over, we took off our wetsuits and ran into the ocean.
As like one last cold dip.
Yeah, and that was February 9th.
Yeah, Pyle's been doing this through the winter. That's like a morning part.
He's
of his
chiseling
morning
ice off of his hot tub, or I guess it's a cold tub now.
Yeah.
But yeah. I'm also considering buying a cold plunge for my backyard.
Is it just a tub that you can fill it with water?
There are different ones. There's one that's just a tub that you fill with water and that you can like basically dump ice in. There's others that like come with the, you know, the freezing device thing that keeps them cooler.
Yeah.
You have a great yard for it. You should totally do it. But you should have a hot tub and a cold plunge.
Oh yeah, so you just go back and forth between the two.
And there's also the sauna, that's the sauna and the cold plunge. That would set me up real nice.
A lot of buzz about the infrared sauna too.
Yeah, infrared's not for me because I like the steam coming off the rocks. I don't want the infrared is a little too dry.
Yeah, that's a steam room.
There's a steam room that like just is constantly blowing hot steam and it's kind of like super foggy.
Is that the one with the rocks that you pour water on?
No, the steam room almost looks like a shower and there's just like constant steam coming out.
Wetness. Yeah.
Then there's the sauna where the rocks get hot and you pour water on.
It's like wooden.
Yeah. That doesn't like fill with steam necessarily.
It's a drier heat.
Drier heat.
And then infrared
still
a little toaster
wetness.
Oven.
Yeah.
It's like red light.
Yeah, exactly.
Why
too dry.
Why is that a new hotness?
I think they're less expensive. They're maybe easier to maintain.
Right. It's like just like this an electric.
Yeah.
It's just literally a little toaster. It's like a little toaster oven.
Yeah. But you should, I'll send you the guys that built my sauna. You should do sauna, cold plunge in your backyard. No
so
reason not to.
A constant state of hot to cold.
Yeah. What is it that appeals to you about it? Because you're not somebody that likes being uncomfortable.
No, I don't want to do it. I don't want to have this as part of my routine. I don't like being cold. I'm like cold-blooded. Whenever it's like a little bit too cold in the room, I feel physically uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But the idea of just like getting a shot of something natural to wake yourself
endorphin
up in
dumps,
the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
But I haven't loved it to the point of actually trying it yet.
All right. Well, I think I'm going to get one in my yard.
Cold
so you
plunge.
Can at least try it when you're in New York.
Yeah. But then do you then just get into a hot shower after? Or does that defeat the purpose?
I don't know. I guess I would have to look it up. But also, like, when I've done it before, I do not just get into a hot shower afterwards.
Right. You stay cold.
Yeah. You warm up basically when you dry off and you put your clothes on or something.
Mm-hmm.
I would almost do it after, I think I'd do it after the sauna, jump in the cold plunge. Dry off, you make some coffee, you still shower, but it's not like you don't shower to get warm immediately.
What if instead of a hot sauna, cold plunge, it's just the room that's like 72 and then you go into another room that's like 68?
I feel like that would be comfortable, but it doesn't have any health benefits.
Interesting.
Yeah,
but it doesn't also have any health negative
associations
either.
Yeah, so you'd have to weigh how good the health benefits are of the cold plunge versus how comfortable it is to just sit there with your VR goggles and your fleshlight and it's 69 degrees all the time.
Because you're watching someone 69.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, here's a question called Friends Bail on Joint Airbnb.
Great.
I want to start off by saying I do think I am overreacting, but I'm also very cautious with money, so I don't think I'm too crazy for being upset about this situation. We'll call this guy, neurotic Nick.
Nice.
So a group of friends, about seven of us from my master's degree, decided to meet in Rotterdam for a weekend to hang out and party. Didn't we almost go to Rotterdam? It's like next to Amsterdam, but not Amsterdam.
Yeah, yeah. North of Amsterdam?
We graduated 4 years ago, and we all live in the Netherlands, Belgium, France region. So coming to Rotterdam isn't too hard for us. About 2 weeks ago, we all agreed we'd chip in on a large Airbnb and split the cost five ways. Sounds like a plan. However, 2 days ago, it came to light that two of our friends couldn't make it, and the other three would just sleep in the apartment of a friend who lives in Rotterdam. And there wasn't enough room for me and my girlfriend to also stay with them. Even when I suggested we could bring our own mattress and everything, they insisted there wasn't enough room. So that meant my girlfriend and I are stuck having to get our own Airbnb, which is probably 300 to 400 euros, while our other friends get to stay for free. So that's when I decided that, out of principle, we wouldn't go.
Mm.
Is this an overreaction? I kind of expected them to offer to pay part of our Airbnb, but on the other hand, it would only be me and my girlfriend using it, so I understand why they wouldn't. But still, it's kind of annoying, and it just rubbed me the wrong way. Was I wrong to react this way? I just noticed myself that in my frugality, I might be off-putting sometimes, but in my heart, I feel I was a little right, even if I imagine I would have gone and felt resentful.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks. Would love to hear your thoughts.
The thing, I think you're right, but also now you're not having, you've punished yourself.
Yeah.
You stood up for your morals and your principles, and you made yourself sad. You denied yourself a vacation and time with your friends. That said, I think your friends were kind of rude about this.
But yeah, they were just like, ooh, we all found another place for free. There's no room for you or your girlfriend. So yeah. Do you want to still come and get your own Airbnb?
Right.
That's kind of messed up.
Yeah. So I think I don't know. I feel like given this, I might do the same thing. Or I might just be like, great, I'm going to go and like get a nice Airbnb with my girlfriend and make the trip more about us hanging out.
That's weird too. You're there with your girlfriend, yeah. And your friends are also there.
And you're still and you're spending a lot of money and you're mad. Yeah. At least, I guess you're going to be mad either way. So at least what you've done is save yourself money and you're mad,
yeah,
rather than go spend money and stay mad.
Yeah.
So the lesser of two evils.
Which is letting them know but not go.
Yeah.
So you're basically being like, you guys fucked me. I'm not going to go.
Yeah.
And based on their reaction, you'll know that their true intentions were nefarious or not.
Right.
Like, are they like, no, what? You should definitely still come with us. Or are they like, awesome, great, yeah. Right. We're going to actually stay in that Airbnb then.
Yeah.
Because now there's room for all of us.
Okay, if that's how you feel. Maybe they just don't like you.
Which is awesome.
Which is fair.
It's a fresh restart because then you get to make new friends.
Right. In Rotterdam. The best kind to have.
Imagine going to Rotterdam and fucking making a new friend for life. There's no value. You can't put a price tag on that shit.
Yeah. It's rude. It's tacky.
It's weird. It's off-putting. It's blue.
It ain't
uncouth.
Right. Yeah.
Who would you say is your newest friend?
My newest friend.
You're texting somebody and you met him, I don't know, 5 years ago.
I guess there's a dude that I met like maybe over the summer that I'm texting sometimes.
It hard to make connections, right? That's why you like Monopoly. That's why you like long distance.
What are you talking about?
For you, it's very transactional.
Okay, that was kind of intelligent, but transactional related to Monopoly. But you said you like making connections. That's why I like Monopoly. It doesn't rings false to me.
Yeah.
You're connecting dots where there are none to connect.
Would you say you've ever gone
drop
direct?
The Monopoly.
Drop it. It's not even necessary. Right. Yeah. It wasn't even a big part of your upbringing.
Small.
Yes. But the idea of collecting little things from Illinois, Baltic, Marvin Gardens or whatever.
It feels like Monopoly's the focus rather than like a way in to like a deeper
more
thing.
Like,
yeah, right. It should be about the like the transactional nature of relationships for sure. Mm. Not like, I wonder why you like collecting Monopoly pieces.
Right, like what is it about?
An exploration of me.
It's completely...
Why do you have a tiny little metal top hat, I wonder?
Why do you walk around inside of a thimble? Curiously.
You're obsessed with free parking.
Do you think you can remember all the properties on Monopoly?
No. No.
But there's a chance.
Nice chance.
There's a community chess.
There's a community chess, after all.
That's actually an accidental good tweet that I stumbled on. Do you think there's a... about... I can name every Monopoly property.
Mm-hmm. Just give me a chance.
Yeah. I can name every Monopoly property except for one. So give me a chance or something
right.
like that.
Yeah. It's the chance. The thing is that chance isn't a property.
Yeah.
Right.
I can name every square.
Card.
I can name every, what's it called?
Box.
Box on Monopoly.
Yeah. I can name the full Monopoly board.
Except for one.
If given the chance.
Just give me a chance.
Or should I go to jail?
Mediterranean is the first one.
Mediterranean?
Yeah.
Wow, yeah, I would not have remembered.
Then Baltic.
Okay. And there's only two. That's purple.
That's purple.
And then we're going on to the blue.
Light blue. Blue. Yeah.
Baltimore? Or is that Baltic?
I think it's Oriental, which is really expensive.
Oriental. Yeah. Connecticut.
Connecticut is the expensive one, yeah. But I don't know. Oh, Vermont? Something?
Vermont. No, I thought Vermont is dark blue. I think Connecticut is a light blue one.
Yeah, Connecticut is light blue.
Okay.
And Oriental definitely is.
Right.
Oriental Ave, what else is there? I remember Oriental, and then what was after
dude,
that?
Relax. But... You named it already. What's the name of property? Yeah, you already said Vermont. Yeah. We already said Illinois.
Illinois is red. Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, those are the reds. Uh-huh. But what's after the light blue? Orange?
Yeah, there's orange.
St. James Place?
Wow. Sure.
Now that's getting all mixed up.
Yeah.
Orange, I mean, and then what's the one after that?
Before? Boardwalk and Park.
Oh, yeah.
That's
and the
easy.
Greens right before those blues.
Oh, yeah. Forget it.
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. Right.
Yeah. And lastly, of course, the yellow.
I literally have not been able to name anything besides Connecticut and Oriental.
I definitely remember there was Oriental. And...
It feels like you like Monopoly more than I did.
I love Monopoly.
And let me guess, you were the banker. And let me guess, you cheated to win, didn't you? Were you a hotel magnet? Yes. Yes, I think you were. Oh, you did the railroads, you little fuck. Did
you love the four railroads?
No, I couldn't.
B&O? Classic.
I don't know any of them.
Pennsylvania?
You already said Pennsylvania as a property.
Yeah, that makes me think it's not a railroad.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, railroads were weird.
Yeah, but having them was good.
Yeah.
But really what you needed was the property. You needed that hotel. If you had the hotel on Park Place, you're in the game. You've won the game. You are bleeding people dry every time they land on your square. Okay?
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, you guess? You guess.
Ventnor!
Huh?
Ventnor?
Ventnor is a purple one, right?
A yellow.
Yellow.
I'm looking at them now. Oriental was correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then Vermont, Connecticut. Oh, we totally forgot there was a purple one, not an orange. The next one is purple.
Okay.
Let's see. Last three. Let's just tell me if these sound at any, like, ring a bell at all.
Okay.
St. Charles Place.
It rings a bell.
States Avenue.
No.
Virginia Avenue.
Small bell.
Yeah. I think what you did growing up was sort of view people as almost like this transactional.
You said this already. Yeah. Right. That you would always have free parking. That you would always have that get out of jail free card.
Yeah. And the waterworks that you landed on.
The public works.
Yeah, that's when things got a little bit too
I was actually more into the game of life. And I think that says more about me. It actually says a lot that you were super into Monopoly, which is just going around a square, consistent, mundane, all about cash flow, build a property, build a hotel. And I was more into this meandering game of life where you could pick up tiles and win cash for life events, getting married, finding your job, having children. Isn't that interesting?
I went to a shrink to analyze my drinks. All right, let's take another break. Thank some sponsors. Answer more questions after these messages.
Yeah.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we're back.
Yeah.
It's Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's.
I totally forgot to say happy Valentine's to you.
That's right.
Do you ever say happy Valentine's to the ladies like in your family, or is it that kind of weird? Like happy Valentine's Day, mom.
It was like my grandma was really into Valentine's Day. She would like make us little Valentines. So it's kind of like a family, like we say happy Valentine's Day on the family thread. Yeah. It's like a little family holiday. It's sweet. Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't like get my sister a Valentine.
I just want to pushing the other three aside.
Yeah.
Have you seen Rachel?
I made her a card. Gross, man.
Why? It just means that you love her.
Yeah. But like more than the others, which isn't right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Situation turned out to be cheating the whole time.
Huh?
That's the subject of this next question.
Okay.
Third-year college student who went to Birthright on a trip, so we'll call him Noah. Classic Jewish Birthright name.
Yeah.
I met a girl who I really hit it off with. We spent a lot of time together, kept in touch over text until classes resumed, went on a bunch of dates, and generally grew very close.
Uh-oh.
We had conversations about how we wanted to take things slow. But we were at least exclusive with each other. Hell, we even made plans for Valentine's Day and beyond. Things were going well, and she made every indication and expressed explicitly that she was very interested in pursuing something romantic. So cut to last night, I hosted a party at my place with a bunch of people, but eventually I leave with her to check out another party that some mutual friends were throwing. And while we were there, she left with a girl she knew and another guy, supposedly to sleep over at the girl's place, despite her saying the day before that she'd crash at mine. Right before she left, I pulled her aside and I asked her about it, and she assured me everything was fine, that she wanted to keep seeing where things go with me, but she didn't feel comfortable sleeping over. I later found out through my own sleuthing that she slept over at his place last night.
Ooh.
In retrospect, there were red flags, like her saying that she wasn't going to go to the same event as another friend tells me that she actually did, and so on and so forth, and she didn't know the guy that she left with, but it turns out she did, and so I know that she definitely had been lying to me for a while.
Yeah.
As far as I know, she doesn't even know that I found out about her whole situation, but I haven't contacted her at all since then, so she probably knows something is up. Should I just try to forget about it all, or do I try to confront her?
I don't think you get anything out of
confront. If I were to confront her, how should I go about it, slash what should I say?
The thing is,
it's unlikely I'll see her again.
Right.
Randomly, as
okay,
we share We don't share friend groups, and it's a big campus, but I feel like I'd be letting her off easy if I just let it go.
You don't want to be in the situation where you confront somebody that you're not actually, like, you know, together with, and be like, I spied on you and I found out you actually hooked up with someone else. Like,
and to think I was just going to let you off scot-free.
Yeah. I thought you wanted to see where this was going. Well, it's here and I'm a little crazy. Yeah. I don't think you want to be in that situation. It does sound like she did you a little dirty, but the best thing you can do is move on and find somebody better.
Would you say living well is the best revenge?
Yeah, but I also don't think that she will care about that either. So basically, you'll never get what you want from her, which is, I guess, her to feel bad, apologize for lying to you, yeah. Say that you are the person she wants to be with, and...
That is a funny thing in relationships where, like, this person screwed me over. Like, yeah. What should I do? It's like, there's nothing you can really do. Like, right. They'll always have the quote-unquote upper hand.
Yeah.
Like, you can make them feel bad, right. And they either will or they won't. Yeah. But that's not good for you. Either way, it's bad.
And what is getting the upper hand actually feel like? I felt bad. And then I have the upper hand because then I made her feel bad.
Yeah. And then so you walk away happy.
Good me. She's sad. I was mean.
So joke's on you for being mean to me, because now you're sad about it.
You confronting her about this makes her even more right to leave with the other guy, I think.
Yeah.
So
it's
all
sort
you
of
can
a
do...
social checkmate position.
Right. But if you're very cool about it, if you're just like, whatever, I'm not into that kind of behavior. That's not for me. Yeah. I don't like the lying. I'm going to go try to be in a healthier relationship, then that makes you the bigger person, and that's actually the upper hand.
Yeah. Do you think anyone ever acts like that? Like someone who I've sort of had a crush on is now like interested in somebody else and is kind of nefarious and lying to me. So I'm just like, whatever, I don't care. I'll just find somebody else and get into a more healthy relationship.
Right. Do I think anyone's ever like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or are they
all
just like, what is fuck is happening? Why is she deceitful? Why is she lying to me? I need to get to the bottom of it.
I think that's a normal reaction, and sometimes you kind of like spiral but don't actually do anything about it. Like this person might have written this email in kind of a huff and has now thought better. It's like, it's not worth my time. It's like, I'm pissed. And you can feel all those things, but then in the end, it's not worth your time. You're not getting anything out of the upper hand here.
It probably doesn't help that it happened during Valentine's Day week/end.
Yeah. Yeah. Not great. But sometimes these things on Birthright, they feel a little more meaningful than they actually are.
Oh, my God.
You just
Birthright
need a little time
seems like
space.
The most, it's like going through hazing or like hell week with someone. You're like up at 4 a.m. watching these beautiful
things. It's a
things.
Heightened time. Yeah. And you're like.
Everything's intense.
Right. All very intense.
You're on a bus a lot.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everything feels very, very intimate, very meaningful.
Everything's hotter on a bus because it's sort of massaging your prostate and your clitoris.
Okay. Yeah.
So like...
You're right.
For example...
Don't go on anymore. You said the bus driving was massaging your prostate and clitoris. What more needs to be said? What do you think?
I'm saying we can have a normal conversation at a cafe... Yeah. Or in Barcelona.
But I'm not getting any stimuli on my anus.
Exactly.
Am I?
Now let's put that same conversation, but I'm on a, what is it called? Sibian machine?
What is it called than saying the exact name for it?
For example, this fucking saddle seat that I have with
that has a little vibrating dildo thing.
Yeah. And everything, every conversation I'm having, sorry, I'm fucking hot and bothered just thinking about it, is so intense and hot because it's literally milking you.
Right. And then you're going to leave with another guy at the party.
Why? Because...
We were milks together. I can't believe that.
Actually, in Israel, they have these chocolate milks in plastic bags.
Really?
Yeah, it's like it's almost like a Yoo-hoo, but instead of a glass bottle, it just comes in a plastic bag. I don't know if there's anything there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And to be climaxing on a coach bus while you're drinking milk and releasing your milk.
Yeah. And then you're just back at a fucking party. There's
like
no
a whole
way.
There's some kind of like circuitous motion here where you drink the chocolate milk, you ejaculate into your partner's mouth,
yeah,
and then have a French kiss,
almost two girls, one cup style.
Essentially,
this whole thing
closed
is...
loop milking station,
and it is sort of the land of milk and honey, or so they say, mm-hmm. because like that was biblically what
all on the way to Yad Vashem.
Oh my God, what is wrong with you,
dude? I'm just saying, it was a. My time in Israel was really, really special.
I mean, we went to Jerusalem together. We get it.
We did.
So ultimately, sorry it didn't work out with this person. Mm-hmm. They're probably not as interested in you as they were once.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's the bus thing. Maybe it's the Israel thing. Maybe it's the birthright thing.
That's right.
But now that you're back in a normal college setting, everything has calmed down a little bit.
Yeah. And you can move on. It doesn't sound like this is the person you want to be with.
Anyway.
Or should be with.
Yeah. Or it is, maybe.
Mm-hmm. And then you have to fight for her.
You really probably have to punch this guy for Yael's heart. Is it safe to assume this girl's name is Yael?
Yael, yeah.
There's no other
option. Me and Yael are making Aliyah. And you're standing in the way.
And actually, me and Aliyah are making Yael. Making Yael mad.
You should get one of those noisemakers every time he walks into the room.
A like grogger.
The grogger.
Yeah, as if it's Haman.
Boo!
A Megillah-based revenge somehow. That I mean, Purim is coming up. That's not a terrible idea.
It might be, but yeah, you could do it.
Yeah. You could sort of be a Mordecai in that regard. Sort of a wise man.
This is the most Jewish episode we've ever done.
At the buzzer, baby. Episode 580 is our most Jewish yet.
Wow.
But it's not, I mean, this guy's on birthright. We're only adjusting to the situation that he presented us with.
That's true.
Okay. That's it. Try to answer as many questions as humanly possible. I think that was three. That might be a record.
It's a new record for us for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've been doing two recently. So three. We're obviously listening to the feedback.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for submitting your own theme songs.
Thank you. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you.
I'm not a crook. Yeah.
We should say, as always, these are on YouTube. You know, you can continue watching this visually.
I just did a visual gag, so you really should be tuning in.
Yeah, Jake basically threw up two sort of peace signs and Richard Nixon style.
Yeah, and then I was like, thank you, I'm not a crook. That's a golden mic. Yes.
I'm vibrating the couch. That's why.
Like a Sibian.
And you can watch that. Watch that on our YouTube.
Right.
Or you can watch more of us on our Patreon, patreon.com/JA.
That's correct.
But if you're just listening like an old school podcast listener.
Yeah. Also good.
That's how I consume podcasts too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're part of a millennial generation. We listen to podcasts.
Right.
But yeah, you can send your questions or theme songs to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com.
Indeed.
Let's hear the end of this basket case parody.
Oh, yeah. I've been waiting for that.
Trophy case, he called it. This guy's name one last time was...
Easy to remember. No
I don't know
problem.
If we ever said it, actually.
We promoted the podcast, and we thanked his boy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it feels like we... At least we did some justice.
It was Sam. Sam Bartlett.
Yeah, okay.
Sam's actually my middle name.
Nice. Shmuel, actually, is your middle name.
Samuel.
Mm-hmm. Shmuel.
Yeah. So me and Sam have that in common.
Okay.
His podcast, one last time, is The Howling Salt Mine. So if you're a Magic the Gathering stan, check that out.
For sure.
All right. See you guys next week. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Can you help me, please? I need to seize the cheese. To win the golden mic is what I want. Jake is on a streak. A golden mic each week. He's chuffed and cheesed, but every time he flaunts. Sometimes Jake gives himself the mic. And even though I try and try, I'm just a chipmunk man with a turdy in my hand. Am I a golden boy or am I shit? I hit all of my nuts inside my chipmunk butt because I've had enough turdies in my life. Jake is called the Pinch.
He is a diva bitch. He wins each week while Tucker's fucking his wife. I know that if I ask for it, Dick will award me a trophy shit. I guess I'll go to hell. You can call me a Mishmuel. Am I a golden boy or am I shit? So, cut. Dreaming I'm in control, and I got a golden mic. Sometimes Jake gives himself the mic, and even though I try and try, I'm just a chipmunk man with a turdy in my hand. Am I a golden boy or am I Shan?
Was a HeadGum original.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
And why
Live.
Don't you tell them, excuse me, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Okay, I will. It's
can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.